Good morning and welcome to our Lord's Day service, and we do hope that the service is a blessing to you. For our announcements, next week we are honored to have Cindy Steele here, and she will be offering her musical talents. This week we are so delighted that Frank Kozlerich is here from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Juddville, and we want him to have a word of greeting. Frank?
Greetings to you all from the community of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Juddville, the congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. I am delighted to be here this morning. Pastor Don and I have had numerous conversations in the last few weeks, months. I value her as a good friend and a colleague who has been helping me journey through these times. So I'm thankful to God for the community of faith of Ephraim Moravian and for all the communities as we gather this day on the Lord's Day.
Now let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
To worship is taken from Psalm 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. I have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Our reflection is Barbara Axelson. Today we are reminded of things to do. St. Paul says we must become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind. He adds, live in peace so that the God of love will be with you. Not he may be with you or he could be with you, but he will be with you. Being complete is indeed being of one mind with other good minds, God's, the apostles, the believers. Being of good comfort means to listen to the Holy Spirit, who is also called the Comforter, a comfort to us in our lives' journey and an enabler for us to be of comfort to others. Living in peace is hard to do, especially this week as we watch the horrific news of violence around the nation. We, the church, are to live in peace. As we struggle to live out the claims of our baptism, as we struggle to bring peace to a fractured world, may we be reminded that we are not alone. We are secure in promise of Jesus, who said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Please join in singing the hymn printed in your bulletin, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Concerns. We want to remember in praise and prayer Kay. Kay went through surgery very well. She is now in rehab, and we ask for prayers for Kay. We want to remember Dean, who just received a very difficult diagnosis, that the Lord would be with him. We want to remember a newborn, Jaden Michael, great grandson of Elfie. He is in the NICU, and we ask for prayers for healing and for prayers for comfort and strength for his parents. We want to remember all those who are caregiving. It's been a very challenging time for people who are giving care to their elderly parents at home. Many of them cannot get home health in, and so we ask that the Lord would be with all of those who are giving care at home. We're also asking for prayers for Nancy. She's home, she's in pain, and we're asking that the Lord strengthen her this day. Pastor Frank will lead us to the throne of grace.
Called into unity with one another in the hall of creation, let us pray for the shared world. God of community, you form us as your church. Guide all the baptized, sharing your life-giving good news with all the world. Strengthen us to be bold in our proclamation. God of counsel, all authority belongs to you. Encourage the leaders of this and every land to seek peace, equality, and unity. Instill wisdom in advocates who work for justice. God of care, you created us in your image. Help us to see your likeness in one another. Open our eyes to see and attend to all who face oppression and suffering. Console, heal, and nourish all in need. God of compassion, we pray for those who live solitary lives these days. For those who are at home, for those who are caregivers, for those who are practicing the arts of healing, for those who have special need this day, for Dean, for Jaden Michael, who is in ICU, NICU, for Kay in rehab, for Nancy, and others that we name now in our hearts, in our spoken word out loud, wherever we are this day. We thank you from the communities of faith who gather this day, for our oneness in Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whose name we pray. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our first scripture is taken from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthian church, chapter 13, verses 11 through 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order, listen to my appeal, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you.
Sisters and brothers in Christ, that is the way that Paul begins this portion of what we call 2 Corinthians. It's his farewell response to a people in need. They have been gathering for worship, seeking to be a community, and it seems that all sorts of forces are working against them. The church at Corinth is facing strife from outside of itself, from within itself. They are called brothers and sisters this day, and so are we. What did that mean for them that day, to be brothers and sisters in Christ in the midst of all this that turmoil? And what does it mean for us this day to be called brothers and sisters in Christ and to live as brothers and sisters in Christ in the world? The climate of the world at that time was one of divisiveness. The climate of this world today is one of divisiveness. But we all have a commonality that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And in Christ makes all the difference. For we share this commonality for the sake of not only ourselves, but for the sake of the world. And we follow this one Jesus Christ who calls us to be one. Paul says to this young church, put everything in order. Well, he says something about greeting everyone with a holy kiss. Well, we know that's not going to happen today. We know that we will greet each other in other ways in holiness. But he says, put everything in order. A hard thing for anyone to do, any group of people to do. In the church, it's where two or more are gathered, form a committee. In the committee, nothing is in order. Yet in the world in which we live today, there are times when there is disorder, and that is today. What does it mean to live orderly lives as Christians? Sometimes they are messy. But if they are messy for the sake of the gospel, that's one thing. If they are messy out of hubris and pride because of the indwelling in oneself, then we've got a problem. It's called sin. We are called upon to put things in order. Things in order in the name of Christ. What does that look like for the church today? Paul writes that we are to be those who live in peace. Peace. People would differ in their opinions as what peace is today. Seems like we cannot agree on much. But the peace that we receive from Christ is a peace which surpasses all human understanding. It points to a God of grace, a God who seeks and desires to show love for the sake of all the world. A God who is different, who acts differently toward us, differently toward us than the world, but a God who gives his Son for one and all. Finally, just as he began this text, Paul ends the text with these words. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. He began 2 Corinthians with these words, this letter to this church struggling. He ends it with the same words. We are to live in the relationship that we have in Christ, who has come to us in grace, a gift. A love of God. A love that is shown forth in death and resurrection as we die to sin and rise a new life with Christ. A love of God that sees each of us as children of God. And all are valued with equity, with dignity. How much? That a Son would die for us. That we would be a communion, a true community in Christ, that we would seek to uphold all, bear all, and help each other put things in order. A communion of saints where the Holy Spirit moves us and we are allowed to be moved. Moved in righteousness and justice and peace. In many ways, when I read this text, I thought Paul was writing to me this day, to us as a world. How shall we be brothers and sisters and put things in order for the sake of Christ and Christ's world? How shall we show this peace? How will we be those who offer hospitality? And how will we bear Christ's grace? Questions I leave with you this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you join us in singing verses 1 and 2 of Holy God, We Praise Your Name.
Gospel lesson is taken from Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the benefits of all the churches being locked is a benefit for we clergy, because we get to hear our brothers and sisters who we ordinarily would not listen to on a Sunday morning. On Thursday, my privilege is to join my Baptist brother, Mark Billington, in prayer. He does prayer over Facebook every Thursday. And on Mondays, Frank has a devotion, and I listen to that. And so listening to Frank every week, I've picked up one major theme. Oh, I think every single week he mentions baptism within the context of whatever he's talking about. He finds a way to push that in about our baptism and how important our baptism is. And so I kept hearing over and over again every Monday, baptism. So I figured he would take the Matthew passage because it talks about baptizing them. And he didn't. I wasn't happy about that, because the Corinthian passage I thought was more fun than the Matthew passage, because, you know, it's right up his alley. I think it's a Lutheran thing. He talks about baptism more than the Baptists do. So I figured I had to think about baptism. Now, I've baptized many people in my day, and I use that formula in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And on the day of baptism, I talk about baptism, but after that, I usually don't. And so I had to think back on my baptism. Now, most of you who are listening today probably can't remember your baptism, except to look at pictures and to have your parents talk about your baptism, or maybe you have a certificate. But I remember mine, because in the tradition I was raised in, we had what was called believer's baptism. So I was 13 years old when I was baptized. I was baptized on March 3rd, 1968. So all of you who would like to do the math to see how old I am, that's fine. And within 2 weeks of that baptism, word came out that a little village in Vietnam had been destroyed and women and children massacred. It was called My Lai. A month and a day after my baptism, after I was baptized in the strong name of the Trinity, Martin Luther King Jr. was murdered. In June of that year, Robert Kennedy was assassinated. The streets exploded in 1968 and cities were burning. And rage seemed to be the order of the day. And as a young 13-year-old, I didn't know if life would be around for me at 14. And I remember those days wondering, where was God? And at that young, tender age, saying, God, why don't you fix things? Have you ever asked that question, God, why don't you fix things? And now we're 52 years later, wondering the same thing, God, why don't you fix things? But if we understand that seminal moment of baptism, when we are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus said he had all authority, what does that actually mean? We understand the concept of free will, but we don't like free will when somebody's doing something evil. Then we want God to stop it. But I understand that when we baptize in the name of the Father, that's the name of creation, the one who spoke this world into being, we are baptized into that name. We're baptized into the name of Jesus, the one who redeems and reconciles the world. We're baptized in the name of that whole great Holy Spirit of God who actually breathes life into death. And what God is saying is, not I'm going to fix evil, but I'm going to fix you so you can fix the world. And that is the promise of our baptism, that we are completely regenerated so we can go out and fix that which is broken. God has given us this beautiful planet that we are existing on today. And in every age, God has raised up prophets. In every age, God has raised up people who cry out for justice. And in every age, when we are baptized, he says, go out and fix the world. Now, at baptism, we are not given everything. We're given all of Jesus. We're given all of the Spirit. But we have to grow into that. We have to grow into understandings. And we have to allow the animating Spirit of God to speak through us. God is not going to fix evil. He'll fix us so we can fix evil. Can we do that today? I've been watching images for weeks now of people doing wonderful things and people doing evil things. And one of the things that struck me, one of the images, you've probably seen it in the newspaper, there was a young police officer in full riot gear who had gotten separated from the other officers. And he was backed into a corner by an angry mob. Of course, he represented much of what is happening in this world, and I don't think the mob was thinking about him as a human being, but as somebody who was the adversary. And five men broke out of that crowd, and they linked arms and kept that mob away from that young police officer until help came. They've all become brothers now. You see, God worked through them to prevent an evil occurrence. And I've seen that played out in cities all around this nation. Evil will happen. Until the peaceable kingdom comes, evil will happen. But because of our baptism, because we have been baptized in the strong name of the triune God, he regenerates us so we can be the change. We can fix this world. You who are parents and you look around and you're despairing about this world, you have the power to teach your children so that they can fix the world. All of us are given this great commission. I don't think when Martin Luther King Jr. was a baby, that the parents thought that he was going to be raised into this marvelous missionary of peace. But when he was baptized, he was given that power, and he used it to address the evil of his time. And God is raising us up to address it in our time. May we, filled with the strong name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be the fix that this world needs this day. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the grace, the mercy, and the peace that you give us. I thank you for the animating spirit within. And I ask, O Lord, that you would raise us up to bring change and peace and justice to this world. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.